Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
God's so good.
There's only one way to God. One way to God. There's only one way to God.
In the wonderful name of Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for hearing that word and obeying it, amen. And having that opportunity to go in the water and come up in a newness of life, having all those sins washed away, amen. And having this opportunity to live this victorious, overcoming life in him. It's a privilege and an honor, and I'm so grateful to be called a child of the King. God bless you today, amen.
Mighty is our God.
Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight and you'll allow me, just in case it's been a long week, get you while you're awake, which is fine for me. I want to try to impart something to you that we're experiencing in this place here tonight. You'll notice that no matter what's happening in the world today, it did not stop you right now if you were reaching in worship and praise from touching God. Do you notice that tonight? Praise the Lord. Amen. That no matter what's happening in your personal life, no matter what you see on the news, no matter what you see on social media, if you allow your life to spend too much time there, praise the Lord. It does not change, and it did not change what you were able to touch here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sounds like a simple truth, and it is. But sometimes we just need to recognize simple truths that are at play. Isaiah 53, verse 1, in the great word of the Lord, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah 53, in the great word of the Lord, verse 1, we're going to read. Thank you, Jesus. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? One more time, Isaiah 53 and verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The emphasis being on who has believed our report. To whom is something revealed? I want you to turn now to Job chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 1 in the great word of the Lord. Praise God. Job chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. I want to stop there. Hallelujah. And let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, shall we? Praise God. Lord, we need your help tonight. Praise the Lord. Would you just talk to our hearts tonight and help us just reach glory one more time? Break past the barriers, God, and the false narratives of this world, and help us disconnect with a report that's worth believing. In Jesus' name, praise God. And everyone said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for his word. The scripture says, thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. The scripture says that his word has made all things. It's a word that we can trust. Praise God. We're reading here, I want to read Isaiah 53 and verse 1 and Job, because there's something I want to point out to you tonight, and that is kind of the main crux of this message here tonight and point of emphasis, something I never thought about before, I never even considered the idea behind it, because there's so many other details sometimes in Scripture that we focus on, but I never thought of this one. But what I want you to see first is, who hath believed our report? the report of the Lord. And to whom is the arm of the Lord, which we know was Jesus Christ, revealed? And we know that the Apostle Paul later rehearsed this scripture because not all have believed. He chose through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, but not everybody has believed. But some of us have, and a lot more are going to believe. We're not the only ones. Millions have believed. Praise the Lord. Millions have been converted across the centuries. You're not going to heaven alone. Praise God. Not everyone's like Eve and easily beguiled. Praise the Lord. Not everyone's a Judas Iscariot. You've got saints that walk with God, that eschew evil, that are perfect, that love God, who will never falter, who will never fail, who will never wander away, who will never find themselves in a pig pen. Oh, hallelujah. I read that someday there's a number that no man can number. That means you're not going alone. Hallelujah. And don't you forget that. You are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that may be greater than anything you see in your lifetime, but they're there. Talked to a young lady this week who said, even though Brother Rutledge is dead, he's still talking to me through his messages. Praise God. Even though Enoch has been translated, his testimony that he pleased God, still talking to us. Unless you turn a deaf ear and believe another narrative, amen, he's still talking to you. He's still saying the Lord's coming with 10,000s of his saints, and I'm going to be one of them. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. God's so good. He's so good. Oh, I just love him tonight. I'm just loving the report of the Lord. Praise God. You want to be encouraged, praise God. Believe God's report and be very simple concerning the other reports in this world. Because there is an enemy that would like to sow his report. The scripture teaches us that there's no marvel for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, so there's no marvel that his ministers appear to be the same. Meaning what? Meaning he's going to try to bring about a report for you to believe that isn't God's report, but he's going to make it look like it's God's report. God had already told Adam, of every tree you can eat, have at it. But there's one thing I don't want you to do. So what does the devil do? He shows up and he's got a different angle, got a different detail. He's got a new story to sow and to tell. And he wanted to strike conversation with a little lady. And he starts off saying opposite to the report of the Lord. God said, you can't eat of every tree of the garden. Look, when it's the enemy, the liar, the heathen, the murderer, when he's talking to you or trying, don't converse. Don't talk to strangers. It right, Sister Gloria? It goes back to the adage that we teach our kids when they're younger. Do not talk to strangers. It happened just a few days ago with our little niece. You know, that it can be so simple and so seemingly innocent for somebody to walk by with a dog that will strike conversation with a child and use it as a tool to get into that child's life. And a parent, sometimes we don't watch. That's why Jesus said, watch and pray. Why? Because the enemy's showing up. He's got a dog with him. He just wants to have a conversation. But there's a time where you just got to cut it off. You don't apologize. You just stop it right there and then. If the enemy's trying to come in and seduce you and teach you a narrative and sow it into your life, you just got to whack him on the head and move on. I don't want your story. Kind of like a bad movie on TV. You got a choice to watch it or not. Yeah. Click. Praise the Lord. Yeah, if God said you should not eat every tree of the garden, she said, well, no, wait a minute. That's not what God said. Well, we can eat of all those trees except for this one. Right, that's the one I want to talk to you about. And then his new narrative was, you won't die. Whose report will you believe? Can the enemy convince you that God's lying? Can the enemy convince you that you're not as kept as God said you are? That you're not as blessed as God said you are? You know what I noticed in Job chapter 1 that I've never seen before, never even thought of before, is that none of them knew Satan was among them. How many times we come to church and it seems like all some people can think about is Satan among the saints? They were there to present themselves to the Lord. They were there to have church. They were there to do what sons of God were doing at this time. They did not know he was there. Job is there offering up sacrifice, being Job, perfect, loving God, eschewing evil, having no idea his conversation going on in a realm that he could not see or hear. And thus the song, I don't know what you came to do. I don't care if the heathen's among us or not. I don't want to even think about them. I'm here to worship God, not worried about whether devils are around us or not. I do believe the word says that we're in the presence of an innumerable company of angels, and it's not the fallen ones. Oh, hallelujah. I say to you tonight, whose report are you going to believe? I want to be like Brother Joshua as for me in my house. I come to worship God. I haven't come to glorify my problems. I haven't come to glorify the presence of the enemy. I'm not here to sing a sad song because I bought into some dumb narrative taught to me by some heathen. My life's not going to be dictated from something from the Oval Office. It's going to be dictated by something from a throne. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Throne of God and of the Lamb. That's the narrative I want to believe. That's the narrative I want operating in my life. That's a story that I want running me. Because if I believe other narratives, the other narratives might say, you're not going to make it. If I believe sometimes the story of my own life, my ups and downs, it might say to you, yea, it God said. The world can promote its doom and gloom, but whose report are you going to believe? I don't care what the world says. I'll watch, I'll pray, I'll fast, I'll seek after God, I'll be aware, but I'm not running my life on their narrative. They didn't write my born-again story, and they're not going to finish it either. But Jesus said, I'm the author, and I'm the finisher, I'm Alpha, and I'm Omega, I'm the first, and I'm the last. I'm he that begun you, and I'm he that's going to finish you. Am I yelling too much? Amen. I hope I'm not too loud. And so Goliath walks out on the battlefield, and what's he do? He establishes a narrative, a set of events, a story, because that's what it is. You know, when we were growing up as kids, we watched those animated films and other films, and somebody opens up the story and they're narrating it, whether they're telling something that happened 100 years ago, and then it kind of just fades into the movie as they narrate. See, what the enemy would like to do is he'd like to suit up and look like a preacher so he can get a hold of the microphone and he can start narrating. Because, but what will happen when he starts narrating this gospel message, he'll lead you off into the woods where the wolves are and where the thorns and the briars are, where you get your life entangled, where you get slaughtered, and where you'll be in bondage and not able to be free, full of fear. I'm not here to be rude tonight, but just make sure your life's not lived in fear. Amen. I didn't say anything earlier to try to make you do anything. You just be yourself unto the Lord. Got it? Everybody unto God. I don't care how you feel about the whole thing. Unto the Lord. Everybody operates unto the Lord, not unto you. Just make sure, though, in the middle of that, whatever you do, that you're operating on God's storyline, not the enemy. Be careful. All I'll say to you is this, and this is not a political message. All I'll say to you is just be careful what stories you believe. Be careful what stories or reports or events or messages that you buy into. So Goliath is out there. All right, I'm still early. Goliath is out there, and what's he do? For 40 days and nights, he's got Israel believing his story. You can't defeat me. He walks out there and huffs and puffs and says, I'm going to blow your house down and you know it. He don't quite say it that way. He says, give me a man that we may fight together. And if I win, you serve us. If you win, we serve you. But he's blowing smoke because he don't believe they'll win. And he wants them to believe they won't win. The enemy wants you to believe you won't win. But Jesus said, you win. Jesus said, we're more than conquerors. The devil is not a deity. The devil is a prisoner of the Lord. He's a fallen spirit reserved to roaming to and fro in the earth in his prison house. He's not your God. He walks about seeking whom he may devour, but the word doesn't say he can devour you. The word says that the word of God, the gospel of this great salvation, that the gates of hell, at the revelation of Jesus Christ, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's why we preach people to convert it, because hell has to give you up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's Jesus that conquers, not the devil. It's Jesus that's the victor, not the devil. We just have to be aware of his devices, that he has a story he wants us to buy into, but it's a story of defeat, a story of fear, a story of despair. Hallelujah. And the world speaks the same because it serves him. So that's why I say beware of what you hear. Because there's wickedness everywhere, corruption everywhere that wants to bind you, that wants to enclose you in a house of fear and dependency upon others instead of God. That's why God has no problem, again, putting you into a boat to say, wait a minute, don't you trust in your government, you trust in me. Don't let the government turn you into a bunch of petty handlers and people waving their tin cup because they promised they'll take care of everything. No, the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, not the U.S., the Lord. Not everybody in government's of God. There are a lot of corrupt, evil, ungodly, used of Satan people that want to destroy your liberty. But I'm not afraid of that, no more than I'm afraid of Goliath. What has to happen is we've got to get a hold of the anointing, because the anointing comes from God's report. Not the enemy's report. That's why I'm not moved. If it looks like I'm unexcited or uninterested in world events and news things, doesn't mean I don't hear it. It just means I'm not bowing my knee to their report, and I refuse to go to bed asleep. I refuse to go to sleep at night afraid. I just refuse. I'm sorry. I'm going to sleep knowing the king's on the throne. North Korea can't bump him off his throne. Russia can't burp him off his throne. And China can't send missiles and hit his throne. Praise the Lord. God's in charge. And I'm not saying this against anybody or anything. I just prompted by the Lord to just simply come to church tonight and just say to you tonight, they didn't even know he was there. What's that say? That says something to me. Just worship God. You've got nothing to worry about. Don't worry about if Satan comes among the saints. He's not impressive anyhow. Don't you dare come to church and talk about how he's been after you all day. He couldn't possibly. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere like Jesus. He's not all-knowing. He's not all-powerful. He's cunning, yes. A deceiver, yes. Good at what he does, yes. But he cannot be everywhere at one time and always be on your case. And if we believe the word of the Lord, the scripture speaks of God's children, that they'll send 1,000 to fly to 10,000. Do you believe in what you live? Maybe I shouldn't say this. I don't want anybody feeling like I'm trying to make them do anything. But it's kind of like if you believe the needles you got work, then why live the rest of your life behind a mask? Where's my shield? No, I'm just kidding. I'm having fun. I'm just making a point, though. I don't trust it any more than you do. But I do trust God. I'm just making a point. If we're living by faith, we're living by the word, then we got to trust that it works. So let me finish on Goliath. Because it's true. They were not believing the report of the Lord. They had a disobedient king. And when you disobey God and you walk away from God, you become weak and fearful and afraid and subject to spiritual things that can take over and run your life because you've bought in. To disobey, you've bought into your disobedience. For Adam and Eve to have failed, they had to buy into the seduction of the enemy. They had to buy into his narrative and ingest it and believe that what he's saying is true. Thus, they ate the fruit. If they didn't believe what he said, and they believed the report of the Lord that if we eat, we die, no matter what you say, they would have still lived. It would have been a different story today. We wouldn't have been reading about Adam and Eve. Maybe somebody else, but not them. Because they would have said, nope, let God be true and every man and devil a liar. I'm not eating. So they were buying into that message, and fear had gripped a hold of them until the Lord just brought a little boy full of faith, singing songs, having no idea Satan's among the saints. I love it. I just love the simplicity that's in God. Look, the world would like to narrate into your life how big and bad and ugly and strong and powerful the enemy forces are. And so the servant goes out there and says, we're in trouble. Goes into the prophet, and the prophet says, Lord, would you just teach him your report? Open his eyes. I'm going to show him your report. Oh, I hope I'm making sense and reaching somebody here tonight. The report of God doesn't go away when the enemy tries to sow his report. God's report's still true. It's still active. It's still powerful. If God be for us, who can be against us? It's still real. Don't believe that God's not for you. And so Gehazi walks back into the house and says, well, everything's cool. I just saw God's report surround the enemy's report. We're all right. Praise God, praise God, praise God. The enemy says it's famine, disaster, it's the end times. And the man of God says, go to the ocean and tell me what you see. Why? Because he's operating on another report. Just like Josh and Caleb were operating on God's report, we can take this land. But they're big, wild cities. We don't see that. We just see the report. The report that says, that's your land. Take it. I've given it to you. I'll drive them all out. Piece by piece so that you can grow and inhabit the land. I'll drive out your enemies. Go, it's yours. And they say, we believe that. So the servant goes out to the sea and says, I don't see anything. You're still believing another narrative. Go again. I don't see anything. Go again. Go again until you get that bad narrative out of your soul and you can see the cloud arise the size of a man's hand. What was that? The answer of God. The end of the famine. The end of the dry season. The end of the darkness. The end of the night. Revival in the midst of gross darkness to people and chaos. Why would you expect this world to be any different? Even our nation, why would you expect anything different other than what you see that you don't like? That's not the problem. The problem is how you see it, how you live, how you react based on it. Seventh time he comes back and says, wow. I see a cloud. I saw it before you did. That's why I sent you out there, because I knew the report of the Lord was going to produce. And then there was a great thunder and a great cloud burst and an abundance of rain at the report of the Lord. Lord, who hath believed our report? See, sometimes that's what God says when his people come to church and their hearts are full of fear and their minds are 6 miles away and all sorts of things are trying to gain control of their life. They're believing all of this junk that's in the world today and they're trusting in this and trusting in that. I can hear heaven saying, who's believing me? People come into church and it's like sometimes they're looking for Satan to be there. Getting so fixed on everything's bad, but sometimes it's good. Second Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant of his devices. And what are his devices? Well, he just wants you to believe the wrong report. And if you do, he can defeat you. 40 days is a long time to hear a big, fat, smelly Philistine say the same things over and over again, morning and night. That's called mental terrorism. And the scripture says fear has torment. He literally, Saul's got 3,000 men. He's got a lot of soldiers, and they're all afraid. Oh, they'll go out there and play the game, fight with other soldiers. But when Goliath walks in, what happens? Why do they hightail it and split? Was it just because of his sight, or was it because of the story that he sold them? The report that they believed instead of God's report that says, we're the people of God. This is our country. What are you doing here? I don't care if you're 15 feet tall. You're coming down. So David walks onto the field, and when his ears hear that narrative. See, when you're of God, the narrative of the enemy irritates your soul. It irritates you. When you hear it, it's kind of like somebody's nails across a chalkboard. And that just gets everybody. It just goes, oh! It just cripples you because it's that. I'm okay. I'm not that tired, so I'm not losing it. But when the enemy's out there, that's what David heard. He heard this dissonant sound that said, you're going down. And he couldn't believe his ears. And then he figured out what was happening. And that was the disappointment of it all. He came in and said, praise the Lord, everybody. And he looked at a congregation that looked like they hadn't had victory in a month. Man, I'm yelling. Jesus, help me tonight. He suddenly realized it was not the rejoicing in the camp that he had coming into the camp. He brought bread. He brought cheese. He brought a revival. He brought, hey, man, praise the Lord. He expected, what a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah, what a mighty God. I've already been to the water. Right? That's what he expected. He didn't expect people paying attention to Satan. It was the Lord and Satan having a conversation, not Satan and Job, not Satan and the other sons of God. Again, I tell you, they didn't even know he was here. Next time you come to church, make sure you're not mindful of him. Make sure you're not mindful of the cares of this life. Make sure you're not mindful of anything that he would savor. I'm here to worship God tonight. I'm here as if we're going to heaven right now. I'm going to start doing here what I'm going to do there. After all, God gave us a taste of there, here, now. Why can't we behave like we're there now? And when I'm there, the scripture says, I'm not even going to remember here. Nonetheless, why would I ever remember a devil? He's a pretender as a roaring lion, but he's not one.
Hallelujah.
All the devil wants you to do is he wants to invite you to his gym workout. Watch him pump iron a while and get intimidated by what he blows smoke in your face about. Watch me. Steel. You're going down. Watch my workout. 150,000 push-ups, 60,000 curl-ups or chin-ups, sit-ups that just out of this world, abs of steel. What to get you? And if you watch long enough, you might believe that he's telling the truth, when the truth is he's not pumped up at all. He's this weak, contemptible, that troubled the nations, that scrawny thing. He doesn't tell the truth. Get it? Any report out of his mouth is a lie. So if he's trying to get you to buy into the fact that he's big, strong, and mighty, and whoa, the devil, he's lying to you. What he's not trying to do is shake his chains too loud because he doesn't want you hearing them. And it's not the chains of a scary movie to get you spooked up. I don't know why people watch that stupid stuff. Don't ever watch that stuff. Why would you promote fear in your life? When you're supposed to promote faith and love and good works and love in Jesus, don't give yourself to that dumb stuff. Hallelujah. Jesus, help me. I better close. Run everybody off, including myself. Hallelujah. Would you love him just a moment? Clap your hands and just, I'm finishing. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The scripture teaches us, listen to the verse 5 and 7 and 8 of, no, verse 7, yes, 7 and 8 of chapter 5 of 1 Peter. I'll probably have you turn there in closing tonight. Do you get that point? I thought it was such a cool point. I just didn't think of that. I've never thought of it, ever. I've been in church for 34 years, and I've read that over and over, and I've heard Brother Glass preach about Satan among the saints. Awesome message. We got that up on goodpreaching.com, don't we? Yeah, goodpreaching.com. Don't forget it. Buy something in the CD store, too. No, I'm just kidding. Great messages, but I'd never thought of the fact that nobody knew the dude was there. He's just roaming around because he's a prisoner. Nothing to do. His real prize has got a hedge about him. You just need to see just how in charge he is. When he's having this conversation about Job, he's talking about, well, I can't touch him. And it was the Lord that provoked the conversation. Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him. God, look, I can't make you understand in depth because it's beyond me as well. But I see it in Scripture that the Lord loves to antagonize that spirit. I mean, he just, it's kind of like a pastime pleasure for him to annoy him and to put him down and to cast him down. And he did it. He was manifest in the flesh and became as a man a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor, but crowned him to suffer death. And even in that state, he cast him down and cast him out. You don't rise up against God. He takes it personal. That's why the scripture says that pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. When Lucifer said, I'll be God, he was gone as fast as he could think the thought and rise up with pride in his heart. God's not playing games. That's why we need to understand something. That petty, pathetic spirit is not in charge of you. If the Lord drops the hedge, it's because the Lord's in charge. I can't touch him. You've hedged him. You've blessed him. That's right. I want you to recognize that. Have you considered? Now, what he was saying was, you want him, don't you? You want to touch him, don't you? But you can't unless I let you. That's how God, how much he's in charge and the devil is not. You are kept. Doesn't the scripture teach us in 1 Peter? We are kept by the power of God. Hallelujah. You're not just saved. You're really saved. You should have no doubt whether or not you're going to make it to glory. He has sanctified, justified, and glorified and reserved you for that which is to come. Don't you dare live your life like you're uncertain whether or not you're going to make it. You need to live every day. I'm going to make it. I was born to make it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're struggling with such weak thoughts, you're listening to a narrative that's not coming from God. He who hath begun, come on, we quote scriptures, but do we believe them? It's the report of the Lord. He who has begun a good work in you will perform it. So I don't have to worry about his performance. It said he'll perform it, not me. I just got to keep myself in the love of, I've got to keep myself kept. Keep yourself in the love of God that will in turn keep you. We got it so easy. I'm so glad David walked onto that field happily annoyed. Disgusted that they weren't back there full of victory and faith and being the children of God he thought they were. Walked into a defeated church service, said, not this little shepherd boy. Same guy that would in later years put on the linen ephod. He'd put that coat that would cover from back and front and tie with all that. It was priestly clothing, not for him. He was not of the tribe of the priesthood or of the high priests. But he put it on anyway so he can get as close as he could to that ark coming into town and worshiped and didn't care what anybody thought about it, not even his backslidden wife. Why? Because nothing's stopping my worship. My mind is not on what she'll think of me. In other words, my mind is not trying to be aware of, is Satan here? I'm blessed tonight, but Monday's coming. Now, maybe you ought to repent of that type of thought and say, yes, Sunday was awesome. Here I come Monday. Praise God. I'm teaching you truth tonight. We got to stop being so American. Hallelujah. And we need to live every day like it's a day coming from God. All right, where am I? So David walks out there and just says, all right, show's over. And he walks out there with a new storyline, a new narrative. He's saying, all right, you've had the microphone long enough, give it to me. And here how it's going to go, bud. Today I'm going to kill you because what you're saying annoys me greatly. And your story's been on this field for 40 days, and I just want to bring now the story of God. Here's God's story. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hands. And we're not going to have to listen to you anymore because I'm going to whack your head off, and you're not going to be able to talk. That's what he said. This youth, not even graduated from high school, walked out in the field full of God, anointed of the Lord. And said, I don't need much to bring you down. Just, I got a name, so whatever I do, even if I spit in your direction, you're coming down. And I'm going to take your sword. I'm going to whack your head off with your sword that you keep swinging around while you narrate to the people of God how you got this thing. Right. Whose report will you believe? In conclusion tonight, thank you for listening. Where am I? 1 Peter chapter 5. I just love it. I'm going to drive it home one more time. Just the thought of the Lord. Just something God is able to say. I'm not, I admit, just like any other preacher, I'm not this smart. I'm not, this comes from God. When God opens your eyes, he just makes you look smart. But it's God, because I couldn't preach if it wasn't for the Lord and the ability that God gives. I couldn't talk to your soul. I couldn't try to reach for you. I'd be terrified of this thing. I would not be up here. But I trust in God, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Amen. Many that be that rise up against me, many there be that say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. That's their narrative. But God's narrative makes me say, but my God, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. And since I believe your report, I'm going to go home and get a good night's sleep no matter who's against me. Because if God be for us, if God be for us, I'm going to say it one more time. If God be for us, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, your prayer life, your walk with God's powerful. Don't you believe the will of the enemy? He cannot huff and puff and blow your house down. Your house is the house of the Lord. Nobody blows his house down. God made you his house. Nobody can blow you down. And if you don't believe that, you need to repent tonight and believe the report of the Lord. 1 Peter 5, I'm stopping. I said I would stop 5 minutes ago. Verse 7 and 8, this is what I want to point out to you. This, the reason for verse 8. Casting all your care upon him, speaking of the Lord, because verse 6 said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. So cast it all. Why? Because in all of those cares are the potential seeds for a new narrative to take over your life. If you don't cast all of it to God. Because when you come and assemble yourself together with the other sons and daughters of God to do what we do when we assemble ourselves together, if we haven't cast it all, then that means we have other things on our mind, other potential areas that are problematic that the enemy can find an entrance. And we don't need to give him entrance. We don't need to be ignorant of his device. So what I'll do in order to make sure that I don't meddle with his devices, I will get rid of everything he would like to meddle with. Be sober and be vigilant. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. Be vigilant. Don't be, oh, the wolf is outside my door. And he's huffing and puffing. Oh, the enemy's working out in his gym. And he sent me a video text message and saying, I'm glad you had a great church service on Sunday, but it's Monday. Be sober and be of good courage. Don't be afraid of that weasel. But be aware, because this is why we need to be sober. In other words, our minds, we need to be sober in our mind and our soul. It's not just talking about be sober, don't drink alcohol. It's talking about being serious and being determined and being of right mind. Be transformed by the renewing, Romans 12, of your mind. Be sober. Don't put yourself in a position where you'll be taken advantage of. Don't be intoxicated with something that will lead you astray, where you're out of control. It's not the same out of control we were talking about the other night. This is being out of control because you're given to things that are trying to control you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is trying to make you believe in his workout. Let's stand.